Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
School's in, everyone. Welcome to the Football Ramble today. Community Shield, Liverpool's transfers, Frank Lampard's derby, West Brom's new mascot, and so much more. Here we go! Back to life, back to reality, everybody. My name is Marcus Speller. Sadly, Jim Campbell is not with us. He is in the Edinburgh Festival doing some comedies. But don't worry, Luke Moore and Pete Donaldson are here. Bloody good to see you, chaps.
Yeah, we're doing some comedies. Dune Sooth.
Yeah.
Keeping the home comedy fires burning.
You don't need to go to Scotland to be funny.
You don't.
No. So they tell me.
Well, Jim didn't get that memo.
No.
He's up there.
It's a new season, everyone.
It is a new season. It's
domestic football is back.
Oh.
The dirty, unfashionable, unrefined version of the World Cup.
Question.
Yes.
Can we go back to hating each other now, please?
Yes.
All the clubs that other people support.
Yay!
Good. Good.
People are being very unkind about the very short amount of time between the end of the World Cup and the start of the domestic season. Why are you listening then? Football's brilliant. Football's back. Let's do this.
Pete's wearing a football shirt. That's how much
I'm wearing a football shirt.
The trouble is,
I'd ran out of clothes. I've been on holiday, just got back off a 12-hour flight from Seoul, Korea, you might say. And
I would say.
And
the only that is what it's called, so you probably would call it that.
The only clean shirt I had was a Japan shirt, so I hope the security staff who made it very difficult for me to leave the country enjoyed really applying the vice-like grip on my clothes.
So I'm conscious that because it's a new season and people will be looking for new football podcasts, they might stumble upon the Football Ramble. So I'd like you, Pete, in your words, to describe to a new listener who is a minute into the show now what to expect.
Imagine a fun bouncy castle what, like, pops and hurts everyone.
It's fairly accurate.
Yeah. But because of that, we learn about bad bouncy castles, don't we? And then we learn how they're...
But us, like the listeners, always get back on, don't we? We always get back
That generator's still going.
Yeah.
We just patch it up and keep inflating
but
it.
Despite learning, we never really learn, do we?
Welcome to new listeners. We've been doing this since 1962.
Oh, but anyway, the wait is over.
Yes.
Because football has happened.
Yes.
And we want to start by talking about everyone's favourite shield, the Community Shield.
Yes, next to Captain America's.
Pep Guardiola could not have been dressed
more disrespectfully.
More like he doesn't count it as a trophy.
Oh, it was so good. He was like general manager of Urban Outfitters, whereas his Chelsea counterpart, 0 hours contract at Sports Direct.
Yeah, well,
this kind of thing.
Well, they're all
well,
zero.
They all are, I guess.
Wearing XL shirts.
Yeah, yes.
Sorry, he's not an XL.
No.
You're not an XL. Someone needs to sit him down and say, when he sits down with his management team and has a little post-match meeting, any points to learn from, guys? Yeah, you're not an extra large.
He's been to the he's been to watch a band. He's been to the merch stand. They said, we've only got XXL left.
Oh, I've had 3 pints of warm beer. I'll have one.
I'll get it tailored.
Don't do yourself a disservice, man.
No.
You're not XL.
You're not XL. Let's see those moobs.
Don't hide that light under a bushel.
Ah!
Marcus, I can imagine Pep Guardiola right now sat on Twitter complaining that people saying that he's now won the Community Shield as a proper trophy being in violation of their terms and guidelines. I don't want it.
Well,
don't attribute it to me.
I hear the chat in Manchester is that winning the Community Shield is a third of a treble.
Yeah.
So Manchester City are on for it. But Manchester City, despite all that nonsense, they look good now. I know Chelsea looked a bit leggy. And, excuse me, I know Chelsea haven't, I think their pre-season, fitness-wise, they do look a little bit off the pace, which is perhaps a bit of a worry. You know, the season's only days away now.
Well, we're still waiting for the sarification of Chelsea.
We are, Peter.
It sort of sounds almost biblical, doesn't it?
The sarification of Chelsea.
Yeah, well, it certainly wasn't.
When the scarab beetle heads towards the sun, Sarification of Chelsea. I've been on a 12-hour flight.
Does the sarification of Chelsea involve a player's brain being pulled out through its nostril? Like you were told in GCSE history.
Yeah.
They used to do in Egypt.
You did Egypt in GCSE history?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, it's like primary school stuff. Years before that.
Mate. Oh, I can't remember.
Damning indictment of the Portsmouth and the surrounding area where you're from, my good man.
Old listeners won't need a primer on this, but for new listeners, I went to a terrible school.
Where if you were bad, they'd whip your brain out your nose.
Yeah, I am fascinated about how this season's going to go, purely because post-World Cup, it all seems a bit up in the air. I mean, we've seen a lot of players from a lot of big clubs play and feature quite deep in the tournament. So we saw Rashford, I think, play in a truly splendid Man United performance against Bayern Munich yesterday.
Wearing the number 10 jersey, he was very excited.
But I think that was his first action after the World Cup, because of course they were given an extended break. If you take into account how many players teams like Spurs and such had players missing because of the World Cup and how deep they went, that throws it up in the air. And in addition to that, we've got the transfer window closing this week.
Ooh.
So it feels like it's only just got up and running, yet it closes on Thursday night.
I think the transfer window is possibly one of the most important transfer windows of the last 5 years, because there is such a small break. Squad rotation is going to be so important, especially with those teams that are hoping to go deep into the Champions League. Deep squads are going to be so important this
season. Stop trying to convince Mike Ashley to put his hand in his pocket.
Mike, put your hand in your pocket, mate.
Deep squad. You sound like a right. You on 4? Have you been on 4chan again? Is that where you went to Korea?
Deep squad.
It's a deep squad conspiracy.
Pete Donaldson and his deep squad have turned up.
George Soros is all over the lack of Mike Ashley signings.
Are you behind the closing down of InfoWars on Facebook?
Oh yeah, you got to take it off, didn't you?
But so it will be
iTunes.
Luke, sorry.
I was just going to say the next few days are very interesting in terms of transfers because, as I think I'm right in saying, next season the European leagues will close their transfer window early as well, but they voted not to implement it this year. But the Premier League, in its almost infinite, in their infinite hubris, have thought, we'll just do it this year.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're going to have 2 or 3 weeks where they're not going to be able to buy anyone, but yet the European clubs are, in theory, going to be able to pick off their players.
That's right.
So it will make for a quite strange start to the Premier League.
So can you clarify to me? So am I right in saying that the Premier League, they're very happy to go to WTO, World Trade Organization rules?
Yeah, something like that.
And the rest
of
Europe are not going to do it? Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Well, in the words of Daniel Levy, no deal is better than just signing anyone.
Well, Manchester City, they won the Community Shield, and despite the clean sheet, I was at the game, fortunately, enough, and in the shade. And
was that a worry for you?
It was
for me. Oh. I'll tell you something now. This time of the season, I'll be at Fulham Palace on the opening day.
Yeah.
I am already in my mind thinking, if it's blazing sunshine and I'm in that side of the stand, that's my next week written off because I'm going to be sunburnt to shit.
I do not want to an early shit. I do not want to see Marcus Speller in the sunshine at Wembley because I'm worrying about drainage.
Yeah.
In the stands. Dying. I need to know where that water's going because Marcus, like legendary beadster.
Yeah.
Well, indeed, Peter.
He's the fifth Beadle.
It was Beadle mania, let me tell you. Mm. But yes, watching the match, despite Manchester City's clean sheet, it was reinforced to me that one of possibly their most important player this coming season will be Edison. Claudio Bravo making a good case for Joe Hart to be the number two there at Manchester City.
He did something that
he really tried to help Chelsea.
He did, and he did something that I've only ever really seen junior school goalkeepers do, which is misjudge the bounce of a ball so much that even with your arms outstretched above your head, you still can't get it.
Whoopsie!
Oh, dear. But I'm more positive for Manchester
City. We did this all the time back up where I'm from.
Can I judge it by the shadow on the pitch? No, no, it turns out not.
Luke Moore, were you impressed with Phil Foden?
I was impressed purely because I like the idea that Chelsea gazumped Man City to getting Jorginho to the point where I think City were prepared even that I think they thought they had done the deal. So Pep just brings in a youth team player. What are you worried about? He'll run the game anyway. And we'll win.
Yeah.
So
not a problem. I mean, Kante wasn't there, so that would have helped Joe Foden and City's calls. Of course.
But the way to assess Phil Foden, because not many people have seen him play an awful lot because he's such a young player. But the way to assess him is obviously apart from watching the game last weekend is to say, look at what Pep Guardiola said. He said, look, he's a first team player. He deserves to be treated the same as Kevin De Bruyne, as David Silva, as part of the first team. And he also said, I thought he was ready to play last year, and I think he'll play a lot this year. So.
Yeah.
He's a big asset to them. City look like they want to get some sort of backup for Fernandinho, don't they?
Yeah.
They've only obviously brought in Mahrez in terms of notable signings, and it'll be interesting to see how he gets on as well. By the way, because I'll be keen to see if he can improve with better players around him,
or is he better off going to be being a big fish in a small pond? Because that does happen.
Exactly. So you don't know. It's difficult to say.
Before we move on from Phil Foden, Peter. We don't want to get too excited, but how many trophies do you think he'll win at senior level for England?
There's a lot of Foden mania going on, and it's quite a hard thing to say. Foden mania.
Yeah. Well, don't say it then.
Okay.
All right. What about Ross Barkley? Started for Chelsea.
He'll do that.
Yeah.
Did the game pass him by a little bit from the stadium?
A little bit, but I was pleased for him to start, though. I'd love to see him
in
a bit more.
In the Community Shield.
In that shield.
Wow, wowza. There was Kevin De Bruyne on the bench.
Hang on a minute. It's a final at Wembley, mate.
Yeah.
All right, sorry.
You've got to qualify for it.
Yeah.
There was a bit of chat pre-season about coming out of Chelsea that Sarri, in his attempt to continue the Sarrification of Chelsea... I hope when he inevitably leaves, they say, we've de-sarrified the club.
You know what the headline's going to be, though? If he gets sacked and all the rest of it, it'll be a Sarri state, won't it?
Yeah, or Chelsea hired de-sarrification plant.
nice.
But apparently he's been really keen on Barkley and Callum Hudson-Odoi
He has been 17 years old.
Yeah, in pre-season. And they both featured. Hudson-Odoi looked sharper, didn't he? Looked very good. Looked like sort of 17-year-old, confident 17-year-old.
But it's encouraging for some... Well, obviously it's encouraging for him, but some of the other youth players. We know Chelsea have got tons of youth players and they loan them out and almost stockpile talent, as people say. For him to get in that side with a lot of talent, new manager coming in, that's really encouraging. Now
it will be great to see some of the young players get a little bit of game time. And especially... The way that Sarri seems to play is he sort of likes it's quite a high line at times and everyone moves together up and down the pitch and that kind of was the undoing for the goal certainly
I couldn't believe how much Aguero's first goal I was like what do you expect if you're going to give him all that time and space on the edge of the box?
You guys have played with Aguero. I played against Aguero before. Like, you know he can finish a ball.
He's got 200 of them.
Well, he does now.
Yeah. To be fair to Sarri, he's obviously not had an awful lot of time to work with the team.
We will see Chelsea come into their own.
I think we will. Because we haven't had time to cover it yet, because of course when we were doing shows in the summer, we were talking about the World Cup, and Sarri came in fairly recently. I would say that Sarri to Chelsea is a huge gamble by the club to get him in. I mean,
at this stage,
he's almost 60 years old. He's never won a trophy. Now I know that he's impressed at Napoli last season, but. The shortcomings of Sarri from what I've seen, and we saw Napoli, we went there last season to watch them. The shortcomings, I think, are fairly obvious. If you look at Napoli last season, they played exactly the same formation in every single league game.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
and finished second, only behind Juventus.
Sure, but at Chelsea, you're going to be expected to pick up a trophy or two. I mean, we're talking about Antonio Conte.
Blown his first chance, hasn't he?
Get it under your belt, is what I'm saying. last season, Conte, there was different reasons, and we all know why Conte moved on, but he still picked up a league title and an FA Cup. Mm. And that is almost now...
Tenure at Chelsea, yeah.
Yeah, whether we like to have a go at Chelsea and laugh at them or whatever for being this nouveau riche type club, or the first of that type of club, they do win trophies fairly consistently recently.
Oh, yeah.
And so they're not going to be in Europe this season. So there's going to be a bit of pressure on him. Sorry, they're going to be in the Europa League this season. There's going to be a bit of pressure on Sarri to actually deliver something now because he's gone through his entire managerial career not actually picking anything up.
But would you not look at like the way that Pep Guardiola started his tenure at Man City? His first season was mixed, I think.
Underwhelming.
Crystal rather underwhelming. I think Abramovich would probably give him a little bit of time. He is rather distracted at the moment, obviously, with his own bits and bobs. But yeah, I think they'll give him a season where he can just get his feet under the table and instill a very particular kind of football.
But if he can get that type of football, you think about the resources Chelsea have and the players that they have. Napoli didn't have the strength and depth in that squad. And then when Dries Mertens, who was their main centre forward, stopped scoring towards the end of the season, it did harm their title challenge. And they're up against Juventus as well, who were... just absolutely relentless in their pursuit of the Scudetto. Mm. But he got Higuain's had great times in various clubs that he's played for, but you could argue he got the best out of Higuain, you know, with those, 35 or 36 goals he scored in that season for Napoli and made him such a hot prospect that Juventus paid an enormous amount of money for him. So he knows how to attack. He knows how to set up a team to play an attractive style and a very attacking style. So yes, it is a gamble, but in the same way, I think it's always a gamble, that Chelsea have these attacking players. They have the type of players that he can play with. They've got a proper centre-forward in someone like Morata, who some people may not fancy too much, but I think Sarri may well get something out of him. He likes to play with wingers. He likes to play with three in the middle of the pitch and so on. Chelsea have got it all there.
I'm looking forward to seeing Chelsea this season. Yeah. I think they're going to be an exciting prospect.
But he's not going to sartorially improve the Premier League.
No.
But the thing is, one thing he has got...
All right, well,
on or off the pitch.
Why didn't you just say that to start? All this tactics talk.
We've got 10 minutes now for this. but he does smoke. He is a smoker.
We don't like to see that.
Smoky jokers.
It's old school though, isn't it?
Is it?
Have a vape.
Yeah,
meet us off. We have an IQOS.
Have a Johan Cruyff lollipop.
Is it nice to see Rob Green at Chelsea?
It is nice to
big
see
signing.
Rob Green.
That is the epitome of a lovely old job. Was he 38?
Yeah,
I don't know what he's on, but it'll be all right. Yeah. It will be all right.
Imagine his agent giving him a bell. We've had a club on the phone. All right, who is it? Chelsea.
Late stage.
Do you want to sign for him? Obviously, yes.
Yeah. How much they're paying? I'm sure we'll find out soon enough.
I could get back in the England. Wow, steady on.
Will I get to do the crossbar challenge on Soccer AM when they move the cameras over?
But you can imagine, though, getting in. Yeah, when he's in the office and Sarri or whoever's saying to him, you know, obviously you're not gonna play that much. Yeah, that's fine. It's fine.
You're not I'm 30. Yeah.
Whatever you've got to say, I accept. Super.
Joking aside, though, it is a nice move because
Courtois could leave, so he could be up the pecking order.
We saw Chelsea do it with Schwarzer, didn't Schwarzer?
Yes, of course.
He's a really experienced goalkeeper. Yeah, yeah, he's probably going to be great around the young players. Mm. I don't think it's a terrible thing to do. He's experienced. If you need to bring him in for two or three games because you have an injury problem, whatever, he's at one point in his history, he was reliable.
What is he, third or fourth choice keeper? You've got Caballero.
Cup keeper, isn't he?
I don't even think it'll be that.
No, it won't.
On the bench for the Cubby Cups.
And I think he'll be fine with that.
But your guy's Courtois point is a really important point based on what we said at the top of all this, which is that if Courtois wants to be, or his agent wants to be a dickhead about it or whatever, and say, look, I'm leaving, but they don't get it done before Thursday, well, they can't get anyone to replace him.
No. Yeah.
So it's so uneven as it stands. I can't believe that the Premier League agreed to do it. Mm. So we'll see how it pans out.
But an encouraging thing for Chelsea was that Caballero, despite conceding two goals, which weren't his fault, he actually had a pretty decent game.
He's decent enough, isn't he?
Despite the World Cup. He's part of that Croatia game, you know, when that stuff happened. He's decent enough.
Yeah, but can you really blame Caballero for everything that went on?
The first goal, yes.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a symptom, isn't it? It's a symptom of what's going on there.
All right.
They were running that squad like when Colonel Kurtz was in up the river in Apocalypse Now.
I love how you managed to get that Colonel Kurtz
example
in
every season. Every season.
Well, speaking of Colonel Kurtz, let's go we'll go to Manchester United first.
No, let's congratulate Man City on a massive trophy win first.
I think we already have.
Let's congratulate Colonel Kurtz on building a little life for himself.
We only ever hear one side of the story, don't we?
all his troops are very well disciplined.
And he brought proper irrigation to that swamp.
Exactly.
Oh dear. Enough of the Apocalypse Now chat, I think, gentlemen. So if you look at the big sides in the Premier League, we talked about Manchester City there. I mean, of course they've signed Mahrez, the big one of note. But really with Man City, it's just more of the same. Yeah. More of the same, please, for them. Chelsea,
big
interesting.
Shirts.
Sorry?
Big side, big shirts.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. XL. Chelsea, you think to yourself, well, it is a gamble, but the nature of a gamble, it could be bad, could be good, though. Mm. Sarri does play attacking football. We'll see what they can come up with there. Arsenal, we're not going to talk too much about Arsenal today, but maybe on the Thursday show. Mm. Arsenal, new manager, some interesting signings, perhaps ones they've needed. Interesting there. Yeah. Liverpool, done some extremely good business over the summer. So you look at those, and then you come to Manchester United, and when Mourinho walks back into Manchester after the pre-season and his first words are, finally, it's over. I mean, it's not awe-inspiring stuff, is it?
No.
And we desperately want to talk up Manchester United and Mourinho.
No,
but
we don't.
He's stopping us doing it.
I like the way that, because if reports are to be believed, his relationship with Ed Woodward is now very poor.
Right.
And who's he got a good relationship with?
It's very difficult to say.
Hopefully, you know.
Anthony Martial?
There's nobody left.
When you think about the whole Anthony Martial situation, so the talk is that there could be some sort of like swap deal between Alderweireld and Martial. So Spurs have wanted Martial for a long time.
Yeah.
United
want a centre half, don't they?
Mourinho wants Alderweireld. This is only my reading of the situation, but Mourinho wants Alderweireld, and I think the club want Maguire. So that's a bit of
they've approached Boateng apparently.
That came out today, didn't it? Presumably they didn't watch him in the World Cup.
Well, I get another one.
Yeah. Just inquiring about whether he's all right.
He's a World Cup winner. Which World Cup?
Yeah. But on the Martial thing, so the thing that if you knit all this together, Mourinho is essentially massively undermining the value of Martial to his own club.
Yeah.
Because he's saying, well, he's indisciplined. He's gone AWOL. He didn't say he was going to be away for this long. Even though Martial's on like Instagram posting pictures of him like nursing his newborn child. Mourinho's not having it. Yeah. That's 2 weeks. That's 2 weeks' wages. And the whole time, Spurs are probably rubbing their hands together saying, well, your manager doesn't want him, so we're not paying you that much. He's undermining his own club.
I know. It's very, very strange. Something a bit more positive, you could argue, and you would have to argue this, coming out of Manchester United. And Mourinho did say that he praised the younger players and said that it's been great for them with their experience for pre-season. So fair enough there. But Axel Tuanzemba has broke a Guinness World Record, apparently, breaking the fastest time to clear a game of hungry hippos.
Do you mean Axel Tuanzebe?
Twanzebe. Is that how you pronounce it?
I think so, yeah.
Twanzebe.
We know what you meant.
Twanzebe, not yeah. Twanzebe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll go for that then. Yeah. Sounds a bit better.
He's broken the record for hungry hippos.
Yeah.
Oh, what? Like you just played hungry hippos and he ate all the balls really quickly?
Yeah, with the hippos themselves, yeah.
Did I ever tell you this story? I didn't tell you this story on the Ramble, but I was in Kenya once and a little baby hippo came up while I was in a cafe and I was eating a perfectly spherical ball of ice cream. And I like to think that that's what hippos eat. Like spheres.
Didn't you
tell the full story? Yeah.
And then a waiter ran over and hit him with a tray
in the head. And you said, "I'm never going to hear that sound again."
Yeah, should have sampled it. Could have been the rebirth of hip hop.
Bong. I think that's a good time to go for a break, everybody. We shall return with a little bit more Premier League chat and some chat from the Championship. See you in a moment.
And more hippos.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. No correspondence with PED this week.
No, but if you would like to get in touch, it's real simple. It's show@thefootballramble.com. Let us know how your summer's gone. Don't do that.
No.
Let's talk about the football, shall we?
The problem is all of our emails up until this point right now have been about the World Cup, and we're over that now.
We're over. Yeah. We're done, mate.
Football didn't come home, but we all came together.
Yes.
Football, let's talk about the club season.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So show@thefootballramble.com from next week. Marcus, there will be some Liverpool fans out there absolutely champing at the bit to hear us talk about how good their signings have been.
I'd say they're very good, Luke.
I agree.
They've been wonderful.
Alisson Becker.
Yeah.
He's in goal.
You love his surname, don't you?
I love his whole name.
Yeah.
Alisson Becker. You wouldn't think a strapping Brazilian goalkeeper now, would you?
No.
Becker, isn't that the TV show with the man who used to be in Firefly? Becker.
It's Ted Danson, isn't it?
It's Ted Danson.
Yeah.
It's a bloke who used to be in Cheers.
It is now found in The Good Place.
Yes.
which is an average to good comedy.
I think it's an average to bad comedy.
Do you? Okay.
And the fact that you like The In-Between is more than Peep Show.
We haven't got time for that now.
But we do have time to talk about Alisson Becker being a very important piece in the Klopp puzzle, because Klopp and Liverpool, they played scintillating stuff last season on the way to the Champions League. Of course, they finished fourth. Klopp's been there for a few years now. They need a title challenge.
Well, again, the squad depth, guys. Squad depth. Well, they need it. They've gone for it.
Squad
depth.
They
saw what happened in the final against Real Madrid. They were bringing Gareth Bale on the front.
That was Real Madrid who did that.
Yeah, I know. And they were looking at that going, we wouldn't mind a bit of that.
We've got an unfit Adam Lallana coming
on. Let's have Shaqiri
squad
on.
Squad depth, cousin of the great squad freshness.
Exactly, of course.
They go hand in hand sometimes.
Well, they've signed Becker. They've signed Fabinho. They've signed Shaqiri. And of course, we will see Naby Keita this season.
It's wonderful. They've done very well.
They've done big, big stuff very, very early.
Absolutely right.
They're like the Strokes. They're the Strokes of the Premier League. It's eye-catching, timeless stuff very early on.
Yeah. And Chelsea are like the Libertines, because that's the only reason the Libertines got signed, because of the Strokes.
But the Libertines wore very tight clothes.
Yes.
Hang on, the Libertines had some fantastic stuff early on.
But they got signed. A lot of record companies wanted to sign the next Strokes, so that's why bands like
Marcus,
the Libertines got signed.
Is that why the Pokes got signed?
The Pokes.
Have we got a
more chat on Liverpool? Yeah, we do.
Have we got a Pete's being a basic bitch jingle?
Basic bitch. Shaqiri seemed he seemed rather pleased with himself and repaid them immediately with that glorious overhead kick pre-season.
Wowzers.
I think it was only pre-season. Yeah, but it was an overhead kick, lads. That was a bloody beauty.
It was bloody brilliant. And he made the big deal about...
And Liverpool going to run out of puff for the season? Because I saw them pre-season. The way they were charging around destroying teams, I thought, save a bet in the tank, boys.
Well, Everton beat a team 20-odd nil. So.
That was fantastic.
That's a little bit different.
I love that. Absolutely love that. People
put them to the side.
We got a great tweet about that. Someone tweeted us saying, Police Machine have changed their name.
if you remember that.
That's an old one.
An old one.
But Shaqiri, I mean, I'll probably get a move, won't I? So I don't care. And he gets a move to a massive club.
Yeah.
I understand that Stoke probably, if you listen to Stoke fans, or at least the Stoke fans I've spoken to, Stoke would have been relegated a lot earlier if it wasn't for Shaqiri. And I think some people have said that the criticism from the Nevilles and blah, 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 it was a bit unfair on Shaqiri.
Right.
But I think he's a good player and I'll be interested to see what Klopp can get out of him. But he's done very well to get that move there.
He's done very well.
Well, once again, he made a big deal about the World Cup, about his physique. And I think I made...
It's like a little barrel.
Well, I sort of said that I think he's carrying a bit too much timber. I still agree with that. He took his shirt off and he went, oh man, isn't he ripped? He's ripped in a big guy way. Like, I think...
Well, he's got a bit of fat around the organs.
Well, he's got a bit of fat around the organs. Like, he's like a kind of... He looks like a wrestler rather than a footballer, to be honest. And I think with a bit more application and a bit more hard work, I think he will see a very different physique.
This is very
from Shaqiri.
Rich. This is all very rich.
I know,
rich.
Very rich. He will see a very different physique from Shaqiri this season because he works his players hard.
Greased up, stripped to the waist, could you take him?
No way.
Yes.
No way.
No, I don't think you could either.
He's ripped. He'll murder me.
He'd
look at me and I'd explode.
Hence you couldn't take
like an egg in a microwave.
He'd nutmeg you before and after the beating.
Yeah, that's true.
But they've done well, Liverpool. Their signs have been good. But the real spectre at the feast here, Marcus, is... That,
Jim's not here.
Jim's not here. It is the turnaround, the points deficit, if you like, is so large. Mm. I mean, we've talked about how good Man City were. They finished 19 points ahead of second.
They're still favourites for the league.
Marcus, they finished 25 points ahead of Liverpool.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, Liverpool have made big moves. You'd think they'll be better this season than
Alisson
they were last
Becker,
year.
Even if he's worth 13 points.
I mean, that would be a lot, wouldn't it?
It would be a lot. That's what I'm saying. But that's still an awful lot of ground.
But do you remember when Man City were waiting to win the title and they sort of dropped a few points? You're like going, they could have like finished like 106 points or something.
They did get 100 points.
If they make 100 points, nobody's catching them.
No way.
Like, that's not happening.
Yeah,
no
exactly.
way.
But Liverpool, you're absolutely right. But they, with the money they've spent, according to Mourinho, they've been signing everybody and everything.
Mm.
I thought, well, they've signed four players. Mm. And one of them was already there. But they do need to finish second, maybe third. Do you know what I mean? Because they got in fourth, and that was a good finish.
Mm.
And of course, the Champions League was absolutely fantastic. But they have to have another, at least by into the new year, they're still challenging for the league. Because otherwise, it might be disappointing. Becker to me is, and for many many people, of course, it's such a crucial one. That is such a step up from the goalkeeping situation that was there before.
Disagree.
And
I don't disagree. Really.
And Fabinho and Keita coming in, it will be interesting. He's got a lot of options now midfield. Squad rotation's important. Because they know they like to press, they like to play fast-paced. Those players can do that. They can sit behind in a two, covering the back four, or they can play with more of a pivot, if you like. Naby Keita up and down. Fabinho likes to play in front of the back. back for.
And imagine facing that. These players coming off the bench.
But think of
fresh.
Yes.
And but you've got, oh my God,
you've got
so
Henderson,
quick.
You've got Lallana in there, you've got Shaqiri to come in. Other players, you know, the front three, of course. Mm. I mean, Shaqiri could even play, maybe unleash him on one of the wings or something, you know, if there was an injury to I don't know, Mo Salah or Sané,
Mané,
that would be strange. So I know he's not that type of player, but I just think he's got so many more options now, and there's a lot more running in there, and these are Klopp type of players. So I think it's fascinating what Liverpool could come up with.
Yeah, I can't wait to see him get started.
The three promoted sides are you know, it's always good to see how they get on in the Premier League. Of course, Fulham and
Warnock doesn't give a shit, does he?
Well, I was going to say Fulham.
He's not bothered. Genuinely not bothered.
Fulham and Wolves, they've done a bit of business. I mean, they've got a bit of cash
Fulham
there.
Fulham have done amazing.
Fulham have done remarkable business. Cardiff are very much a lot of people's favourites to go straight back down. Warnock is relishing the challenge of keeping them up this season, saying, well, it'll be the biggest achievement in my life by a mile. If I fail, so what? I'll give it a go and then the club can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like he's relishing it, does it?
Hardly to speak from Braveheart, isn't it?
Yes.
This happened before. Like, I think I made a witty point that he's like the dog who's not allowed on the bed. You catch him in the Premier League. Or get off. Yeah. Get out. Get off that bed. Because he's not allowed. He's not allowed on. He's not allowed in the Premier League.
It were a bloody nice duvet. That I'll just go back to my basket. It's quite nice in there as well.
You've pissed everywhere, Neil. Again.
You've pissed all over this bed. Get off the bed.
Yeah.
But he's never allowed in the Premier League, and this might be his final chance.
I love that he's back. I love it.
I don't.
There's still a bit of time for the old style British manager at the top table. He's going to piss people off, and he's going to get pissed off himself, and it's going to be brilliant. He might only be there for 3 weeks. Who cares?
And we're going to hoover up the sweet content. I don't wish to be denigrating to any of these players, but the four names that Neil Warnock has signed this summer. Are just, it's almost like he doesn't understand that foreign flair players even exist. He's like agnostic to the idea of it.
Yeah.
Greg Cunningham, Josh Murphy, Bob Reid, and Alex Smithies.
All on his boys.
He won't even go for a British footballer with like a double barrel surname. No.
He'll go too fancy.
Don't just restrict. He'll go for an Irish player.
He'll go for an Irish player.
All right. I mean, you compare that to Wolves, who have signed former Sporting and Portugal goalkeeper Rui Patricio.
What a signing that was.
Who's got loads of caps for Portugal. And most impressively, João Moutinho from Monaco.
I love it. I've long wanted to see him in the Premier League. Are we looking forward to a Nuno v Warnock bust up again? Though?
Absolutely.
On the big stage now. Yeah. It's got main event status now. It's gone from a Friday night at York Hall to pay-per-view on Sky Box Office.
Now you're talking. Well, and I think Fulham, of all the clubs in the Premier League, I think Fulham have done some of the best business. Mm. Obviously getting Mitrovic, Peter.
Yeah, he's gone.
I mean, Fulham gave him a home.
Fulham spending more money on our third choice striker than we've ever spent on a player.
Pete, is it?
Haven't broken our record signing since Michael Owen, 16 million.
Pete.
Which is only 1 million more than Alan Shearer in 1996. Good point.
Can I just check? Because Marcus will want to know this as well, and I'm sure people listening will as well. Will that money be reinvested in the squad?
I can only imagine. Where else would you put it, Luke?
Because I went around Sports Direct the other day, and I mean, those sales were very generous. Yeah. It's like he got some money from elsewhere.
They got some new lighting in there or something, right?
They said, look, Mike Ashley was unequivocal. He says Sports Direct is not a budget line anymore. We're going to start running Sports Direct.
Sports Direct Airlines.
We ain't going to be buying up Toys R Us, old Toys R Us shops and just turning them into Sports Direct. We're going to be making Sports Direct like a Premier League, near Champions League club.
House of Fraser.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the fans are looking towards the owner of their club to see what transfers are coming in when the window post-World Cup is very much open and he's talking about Toys R Us.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's reassuring.
It is reassuring. Jean-Michel Seri is signing for Fulham. One of the best deals in Europe for my money.
I'll be there at the weekend on Saturday for their game against Palace. I am bloody
Running
excited
rule.
To see see Seri in action.
Alfie Mawson. Andrea Schürrle. Yep. Welcome back to West London.
Yes.
Journalists again, because do you remember it was between them and a certain Midlands team to sort of go up in the end, and a lot of like the journalists were sort of going, I'm so glad I can just stay where I live in London.
It's a lovely spot to watch.
It's a lovely spot to watch.
I can go and watch Fulham. I can have a beer in a nice pub afterwards. I can ride a Boris bike home.
Uh-huh.
I'm all for it. I only have one beer.
Right. One beer. Callum Chambers on loan from Arsenal. Could happen.
But Andre Schürrle,
yeah.
If I said to you guys, wind the clock back to when we first started this show in about 2007, 2008, the two-year loan deal was as rare as a hen's tooth.
It was.
You see him all the time now. Yeah. Schürrle's on a two-year loan. A two-year loan.
It certainly was. Certainly was. Just before we leave the Premier League, one thing I'd like to point out, bit of admin. If you're going to go to Vicarage Road this season at Watford, they've unveiled a lovely statue of the late Graham Taylor.
Fantastic.
Outside the ground. We like a good statue. Who doesn't?
And he deserves one, to be fair.
Very much so. Very much
compared
so.
To some of, yeah.
Compared to some of them.
Some of them. I like the Michael Jackson one.
Yeah, true, actually, yeah.
Well, okay, yeah, that's fair. That is fair.
As we've said before, but it bears repeating, inexplicably, that is pride of place in the National Football Museum now.
Should be.
Yeah. People say our institutions don't have senses of humours.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
Senses of humours.
Some people can say that. Yeah. Some
can't. you will know them by their smell. The Championship has begun. The curtain raiser saw Frank Lampard's Derby beat Reading 2-1 to give him a start, of course, a winning start as Derby manager. Injury time winner. What a great goal it was as well. Mm. Beautiful header. Lampard said it ranks among the highlights of his career. Remember,
really
he did an awful lot in his career.
I thought it was... Sorry to interrupt you there, Mark. I thought it was really sweet when he said that because I thought, this is a man who has achieved pretty much everything in the game as a player.
At club level.
And what it said to me was that he's serious about being a manager. Mm. He looked genuinely touched, genuinely really pleased they won. He didn't have to say that. He could have just said, a win's a win, we'll move on to the next game. But he looked genuinely delighted. And I think that bears a lot of positivity for Derby fans for the rest of the season.
It is quite nice seeing Lampard and then, of course, north of the border, Gerrard managing to see how they'll get on. You know, whatever you do, and obviously we don't see, you know, something that is also as rare as a hen's tooth is the co-manager. And we wouldn't want to see Lampard and Gerrard co-managers, would we?
No.
One sits, one goes up the touchline, one's in the technical area.
I hate to drag it back to Chelsea, but Zola looks a lot younger. Yeah. Has he put a bit of lemon juice in his hair?
He might have done.
In these hot months.
He might have done.
He looks great.
Yeah.
Has he had a hair transplant?
Oh, maybe. No.
It's the old Antonio Conte.
to wrestle it back from you, Pete, conversational football, back to Derby. Mason Blooming Mount.
Mason Mount.
Looks a fantastic prospect. Mm. I didn't see an awful lot of him last season on loan in Holland. His numbers in Holland, incredible.
Mm.
And he starts off with a goal against Reading as well.
But Derby,
Lampard's got a lot of faith in him, obviously.
Derby has been a good hunting ground for youth players, really, in the last sort of few years.
And they came very close last season to being promoted.
They did. Well, I mean, they'll be probably quite gutted that they haven't been promoted in the last, what would it be, 4 or 5 seasons? Mm. Forgive me if that's slightly wrong. But they're knocking on the door, certainly. They've got a nice mix of seasoned pros like Scott Carson, Curtis Davis, Joe Ledley, David Nugent as well, with some youth in there. It will be fascinating to see, obviously, because it's Frank Lampard as well. But Derby are often an interesting outfit, so we look forward to that. Another one. That's obviously a fascinating outfit, not just because of the club.
Maurizio Sarri's t-shirt is a fascinating outfit.
Well, another man who likes a tracksuit, Marcelo Bielsa.
Yes.
Okay. It gave a different type of interview that we're used to post-match. Many of you will have seen this. I mean, fair play on him for trying to speak the language, but when the translator is translating for him, and then he's sort of translating back, it was a strange affair. But do have a look at that, ladies and gentlemen.
They've missed out what a translator's job is actually to do.
Yeah.
Because what, for those of you who haven't seen or heard it, you'd normally expect a foreign manager comes to the UK, he can't speak English very well, so he wants to use a translator. What happens then is obviously the translator translates so the manager himself doesn't have to speak the language. What this translator was doing was telling Bielsa the English back to him, so then Bielsa could phonetically say it, not knowing what he was saying.
It was like Bielsa thought that nobody could see the translator.
Yeah, it only existed in his mind. Yeah.
Like he was Sam from Quantum Leap.
Yes, yeah.
Hello, youngsters.
Imaginary friend.
I can't believe he's got another Quantum Leap reference in there. So early on in the season.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
There we go.
Well done there, Peter. But Leeds look good, though.
They look great. They
took Stoke City part.
At one point in the post-match interview, the translator tells Bielsa to say Stoke deserve to score more than one goal. And Bielsa essentially just wraps the sentence halfway through because he can't remember it. So he just sort of goes, Stoke deserve to...
At one point, he can't say the word stalk.
No,
it's like just say it in like even the span, even the simple. He was actually using quite simplistic language in Spanish. Yeah. Like, yeah. And I'm not a Spanish speaker, but I kind of figure out what he meant.
So that's going to be a bloody entertaining appointment. That he's either going to explode in 3 months and he's going to go, or he's going to lead him to the Premier League at a canter.
At a canter, but for Stoke, it's a real.
Oh well,
it's a real rude awakening, isn't it? You know, right into the Championship. No, of course, Leeds. It's you know, it's a good place to go for crying out loud. Incredible history.
Jack Butland has to save that second goal.
Jack Butland, yeah, and they've lost a few players. They have signed a few, of course. Benik Afobe, who scored, and Ashley Williams on loan, among others. James McLean and Tom Ince. But
Tom Ince is an interesting signing. He almost scored in that game.
He did, yeah. Right, but Stoke have got a really, they've got to get it going soon. You would think, but you would think they would as well. Swansea, they won away at Sheffield United. Graham Potter. In charge of the Swans. Their equaliser, the passing move that started deep inside their own half when they were under pressure, they knocked it out. It was quite magnificent, really. If it was a cleaner finish, there was a sort of a scuffed sort of tackle and then the keeper palmed it and then the rebound was scored. But if it was, you know, it was a phenomenal move. And it's great to see a side playing like that in the Championship.
There's a lot of interesting... worthy of keeping an eye on managerial appointments in the Championship this season. You've got Darren Moore at West Brom, who, of course, won Manager of the Month in the final month of the Premier League. Couldn't keep them up, but did really well. Now he's got to deal with the day-to-day grind of having expectation on him. You've got Gary Rowett, who's been given a good chance to get up into the Premier League, having come close with Derby and being treated badly at Birmingham. You've got Graham Potter, who punched way above his average at Ostersunds and has now been given an opportunity. You've got all sorts going on there.
Yeah, but a lot of eyes on
Bielsa, of course.
Yeah, but a lot of eyes on a different type
Lampard.
A lot of eyes on a different type of man down at the Hawthorns. The boiler man. Have we seen this? West Brom, they lost to Bolton. Shame. They had 72% possession. They couldn't make it count, though. Sammy Amiobi was involved in Bolton's first goal. And we always like to mention the Amiobis when they're doing good stuff. But the big news is West Brom have got themselves a new mascot, the Boiler Man. This is due to their new sponsorship deal.
Oh, he's a Boiler Man.
So it's like a combi boiler with arms and legs.
He's like he's like a centaur, but instead of
he identifies
the horse bit, he's a combi boiler.
He identifies as a man, so he's the boiler man.
Can we have a discussion about combi boilers versus stored water?
I think you've got a combi all the way.
I don't know a single person who would prefer a stored water solution in the loft to a combi boiler.
No, I don't think...
And if I ever visit a house that has that solution... It enrages me more than being asked to take my shoes off.
Pete, I don't think. Well, you should take your shoes off. That's another story. I don't think companies even put those stowed water things in there now.
Yeah,
I think
probably
it's combi boiler.
Combi boilers on nothing.
But 2 points on this game. One, I was sitting there watching the highlights of this game, thinking,
"Where's the boiler man?
What a large amount of poor quality goal mouth action! there was about 45 goal mouth scrambles in this game.
There was.
And then the boiler man. The best bit about the boiler man. West Brom's new mascot. He's the most bizarre mascot since the Partick Thistle one.
He was installed by a gas man who was... What's that?
It's not Corgi anymore. You're going to say Corgi, but it's not Corgi. That now.
What was the Partick Thistle?
It's gas safe now.
Partick Thistle,
Thistle is the David Shrigley artist mascot, which massive, like... It's like a...
Sun.
Yeah, like a yellow sun, but with a mental face.
All right.
But the Boiler Man... Okay, so Pete, if you've not seen him, it's like a box boiler.
Okay. That's the only bit of the Championship.
At one point, there was, you know, a training drill, like a warm-up drill, a rondo?
Yeah. When they're in a circle.
There's a load of kids doing a rondo with the Boiler Man.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you came to this dry, what would you think is happening?
And he's having a kick about and stuff, so presumably he can see through the hole that you use to check whether the pilot light's on.
Yeah, he's got fire in his eyes.
Well, one of the things in the Championship,
he's got everything.
Apart from the Boiler Man that we're looking to see and enjoy more this season, is red and yellow cards for managers will be used. In the Football League, the FA Cup, the EFL Cup, the EFL Trophy, and the National League. 4 bookings will result in a one-match ban. They're being treated like players.
Hey.
Like it.
16 will result in a misconduct charge.
That's too many, isn't it?
That's 16's for all players as well, I think.
I think so, yeah. Some managers are looking forward to this, others not. Now, I was perusing the Blackpool Gazette, as I do, and Gary Bowyer said this about the red and yellow cards. He said, I half get it a little bit. If we feel we have to do that for the sake of the supporters, as it's been mentioned, then I would also lobby to the supporters to say, can we get socks and shorts that don't match the away team? I think MK Dons came here and wore all black, and the only difference between MK Dons and the players and the referee was his purple top. Surely the budget should be able to stretch to purple socks as well, which would be able to help us a little bit. That would have a bigger impact on the game than yellow and red cards for managers.
Could someone come and get Gary? Yeah, he's doing it again.
Can we get a yellow card for whataboutism?
Oh, yeah. Gary.
Gary, I'm not even recording this, mate. So
this is nonsense.
He's passionate about the colour purple there, old Gary.
Yeah. Got a boiler on the pitch. Get him off. That's ridiculous.
So, in summary, Gary Bowyer, I think, wants the same. He thinks that having the different coloured socks or something from the referee
is more important.
More important than
and look out this season as well for certainly a few teams in the Championship and possibly all of them. They don't just have the names of the player on the back of the shirts now. They've got a little hashtag at the start in a move heavily reminiscent of 2012.
Hang on, So
on the back of it, so if you watched, it certainly was the case in the Swansea-Sheffield United game. The Sheffield United-Swansea game, sorry. Mm. So on the back of the player's shirts, they've got their name. Yeah. There's now a hashtag in front of it.
Before the name?
Yeah.
All so of you can, them?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I don't know why.
You could power a combi boiler with my anger at this news.
Stop boilering it. Stop boiler chat.
Stop spoilering it.
You're blowing hot and cold.
Oh, dear. Right, yeah, time for a quick break, and then we'll be back again. See you in a moment.
Emotionante.
It was moving.
It was moving.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Now then, there are some things in the beautiful game of football and loosely surrounding the beautiful game of football that we sometimes don't get to talk about on this show, but we certainly talk about it to each other in our WhatsApp group.
We do, yeah. Pete, that's true, isn't it?
We do. In between the nonsense that I send around, we occasionally touch on the thorny issue of football. And so it's a real shame that you guys don't get to enjoy the nonsense that we yap about every week. So
it is a shame, isn't it?
It is a shame. So we're starting a new feature this season where basically we give you a little taste of what's been going on in the Ramble WhatsApp group in a feature we're calling the Ramble WhatsApp group.
Okay, then, let's crack open the WhatsApp group.
Yeah.
Probably put a little jingle in there, Pete.
I'll do it when I've made it.
Yeah, all right, good. All right. I'd like to start with something I found on Twitter, which is a quote from Darren Bent about Paul Clement.
You did enjoy this, didn't you?
Yeah, I enjoyed it very much. So, obviously, Darren Bent played with Paul Clement at Derby, and he said the following. It was inevitable that Clement was going to crumble at Derby. Training had changed, and his philosophy from pre-season had gone out the window because we weren't getting the right results. And ultimately, he didn't really like confrontation. Now, that's quite a punchy quote.
The word crumble is particularly... If he said, I knew it wasn't going to work out, that's not always his fault. Crumble.
It's a punchy quote from a player who was one of the first to adopt Twitter back in the day, Darren Bent, and about a current coach who's had some good success, certainly as a number two.
Yep.
And that would be fine of itself if Paul Clement didn't reply with the following.
So that's what we've heard from Beach Ball Bent.
Yeah.
Let's hear from Clement.
I sense some bitterness here, which is normal if a player does not play much. It is never a difficult decision to leave out a player who is both overweight and lazy.
Oh, he's fat shaming.
literally in your contract. BMI of an under something or other. Fantastic.
Yeah. It's in the job description. It's athlete.
He basically went, shut up, you bitter fat waster. Mm. That's what he said, and that's not nice.
I just love that kind of like, you were terrible at being a professional. So I'm having none of that.
I also, because what tends to happen in those things is that the manager will do that or the player will do that. They'll think better of it, delete it, and the only thing it will exist are screenshots.
Yeah.
I checked this morning, still up there.
Yeah.
Clement's doubling down.
The thing is, though, Darren Bent still could be right. Mm. You know, he may well have been unprofessional, according to Paul Clement there.
He may have had some double downs, the famous sandwich.
Yes, something that tickled me that American fans may have noticed, that former Aston Villa goalkeeper Brad Guzan played in goal for the MLS All-Star team against Juventus last week. He was mic'd up.
Right. Yeah, this was...
He was mic'd up.
Two big things here. One, he was mic'd up.
Earpiece.
Yeah, earpiece. Microphones to talk back.
Yeah.
Two, Brad Guzan's an All-Star. That was the first thing I thought.
Yeah. Is it not still Casey Keller?
So we've seen it happen in cricket, haven't we?
Yes, so it does happen in cricket.
Well, so they mic up the players in cricket?
Some of them.
But cricket's...
But they're full of...
No.
Their whole game is sledging, isn't it?
It will be a fielder who's probably a bit further
out.
So in cricket...
No, Marcus,
Did I leave my combi boiler on?
There is a famous clip of Shane Warne as he's about to bowl it, come in to bowl, and he says in the run-up, just before the run-up, I'm probably going to do this, this, and this, because in the last delivery he did this.
Really?
And he does it, and he bowls him out.
That's clever. Oh, right. Yeah, I didn't know.
It does occasionally happen.
Oh, okay, so I thought in cricket it's normally used for a fielder, as you say, who's out away out wide or something, and it's in between.
Gives him something
in between
to
balls. So yeah, exactly. Gives him something to do, and also in between balls or changes, you've got a bit of time. It's a very different game to football. Well, Brad Guzan's on the pitch. They're chatting to him, and at some point, he just goes, "Hey, hey!" He's shouting.
It's really?
He could have sworn there. Yeah.
It's so weird.
It is,
because sometimes Luke is accused of bringing back the Ramble and Premier League football and other football, big time stuff, to Sunday League. But I'm going to do it now. Mm. I spend a lot of my time playing amateur football, just singing Kiss's "God Gave Rock and Roll to You"
in your mind.
Outwardly. God gave rock and roll to you.
It's a great song.
It is a great song, but why are you doing that?
Because I'm demented. Okay. Well, not right.
So if we mic'd up you, you would probably get a middle to good average
record deal. Please say record deal.
No, Kiss song.
It's not that surprise. He's mic'd up now and we're getting this.
All aboard the bouncy castle.
So there we are. There we are. Peter, anything with the WhatsApp group? Or maybe for legal reasons, best not.
But you enjoyed the Peruvian.
Oh, yes!
I enjoyed the Peruvian story.
Do you want me to bring people up to speed, Pete? Because you've not been in front of you, have you?
It was a Peruvian Cup match.
Well, it was a Peruvian Cup match between two lower league sides.
Lower league.
A goal was scored, but the ball actually went through the net, showing exactly how high level this match was. It was just a big hole in the net. And it came out the other side. The referee gave the goal, but then wasn't convinced. So there was a photographer on the sidelines who was actually filming or taking pictures of the moment itself. The referee went over and checked the guy's long lens.
VAR,
a really informal, weird
amateur
VAR.
Amateur VAR.
The thing is, though, it's being filmed by someone in the stand, so they could have come forward.
The kicker in this, though, is that he checked the camera based on what you sent around. He checked the camera and confirmed the goal. Mm. And at the end, what was the final score?
It was 10-0.
Didn't matter.
Did it matter? Would have been 9-0 at best.
Didn't matter.
What I like is that...
We've been robbed there.
It doesn't really instill confidence in from the player's point of view to the referee, because something happens and the referee goes over to the photographer. You didn't get that, did you?
What would you do if I wasn't here? That's what I want to know.
How much do I have a look at my camera?
Yeah.
Oh, there we are, ladies and gentlemen. I think that concludes the first ramble back of the 2018-19 season.
Yeah.
Of course.
Good to be back in the seat.
It's very good to be back
good
in the seat.
Good to be back in the bouncy castle of filth.
Absolutely. If you are new, you are very welcome. Thank you for joining us and journeying with us this far. Jim Campbell, of course, he's not here. He's at the Edinburgh Festival. If you want to go and see him, Just the Tonic at the Mash House. He's mashing it up at the Mash House.
Check it out. Till the end of August, when he'll be back.
Yeah.
In the bosom of his family.
Mash house.
Indeed, yeah. All right, then.
Let's get out of here.
Indeed. Goodbye from Luke Moore.
We'll be back on Thursday, you guys.
Goodbye from Pete Donaldson.
Who wants to see my mash house?
It's goodbye from me.
Mash house.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sometimes the transition to fall and winter feels like experiencing every season on the same day. The shoes in the Allbirds Mizzle collection were made for misty morning walks, surprise snow days, and anything a trip to the dog park might bring. The whole collection brings together water-repellent technology and classic style, so you can stay warm, dry, and comfy during your everyday adventures. Check off your errands with the Wool Runner Mizzle. Dash through cold and wet weather with the Wool Dasher Mizzle. Or upgrade to next-level protection with the Wool Runner Up Mizzle Plus. Go to allbirds.com and use code FRESHSOCKS for a free pair of socks with your purchase. ALLBIRDS.com, code FRESHSOCKS.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah. You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit. And he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.